Hi, my name is Mike Chambers. I'm a senior product manager for developer relations on the Apollo team, and this is my podcast for July 7, 2006. So first of all, for everyone who's been listening to the past podcast, I want to apologize. I haven't been updating that much lately. I think my last one was about 6 or 8 weeks ago. Things have been pretty crazy. I've been really busy with a couple of things, busy wrapping up, helping with some of the stuff around the Flex launch, playing around with late builds and stuff. Also been a lot of stuff going on Apollo, which I actually talk about a little more a little later in the podcast. I also got a new machine, so I finally switched back to a Mac. I'd switched over to Windows for a while for Flex Builder and for early builds of Apollo. So that kind of screwed up my whole podcasting sound setup. I had everything set up, so I had to kind of relearn how to do everything on a Mac. So this is the first one on the Mac, so hopefully it turns out okay. I think everything's set up now, though. And then finally, the World Cup's been going on about the past month, and that's been taking up all my time, catching up with the games and stuff. So that's been a lot of fun. But anyways, I'm hoping to start getting these podcasts going a lot more regularly. I actually commandeered a room here at Adobe. I won't say where so I don't get in trouble, but and set up my sound equipment. So hopefully, it'll be a lot easier to come in, start doing these more regularly, and actually start talking to a lot of people on different teams about what they're working on, especially a Flex player team and Apollo teams. So I guess the big news of the last week, or probably, maybe of the year, definitely since I last spoke, did a podcast, was we launched Flex 2 last week. So it's kind of odd because we've been trying to be very open this development cycle with Flex and Flex Builder and Flash Player 9. And so people have actually had, it's all been public on labs since last October. So it's kind of a different type of release than we've had in the past, where a lot of people have been playing around with the technology. And so that launched this week, and people seem to be really excited about it, having fun with it. We're already seeing a couple of projects launching with it. This is really one of the advantages of us giving access to the builds on labs, is that a lot more people were able to play with it a lot earlier, kind of understand what it was, understand how it affect them, how they could take advantage of it in their projects. And so what we're seeing is projects are a lot more advanced than they would have been if, we wouldn't have made access available to everyone. And a lot more people would have had to wait till the past week just to really start learning about the technology, really start playing with it hands-on. So I'm not going to go into too many details on the release. That's covered everywhere else on the internet. In particular, flex.org, the site that that we've set up, Ted Patrick, who joined Adobe within the past couple of months, has set up that site, flex.org. It's got tons of information on Flex, developing in Flex, got latest news and information about what's going on. He just posted a bunch of slides from a recent Flex Developer Summit, a component developer summit that we had at Adobe. And I'll actually talk about that a little more later, because I actually talked about Apollo at that. But anyways, check out flex.org. It has all this information on the release. The last thing I will say, I just want to go over just really quickly what we actually did release, because, we talk about the Flex 2 release, and that actually covers quite a bit of technologies and a lot of things. It was actually really interesting being here at Adobe and seeing how closely all the different teams had to coordinate together too to get the release out. So we released Flex 2, and so what exactly does that mean? Well, first of all, it's a new version of the player. So Flash Player 9 includes support for new version of ActionScript 3, which is based on the NEC ECMAScript standard spec, which is still a draft, and we're going to follow that very, very closely. It also includes a brand new virtual machine rewritten from the ground up with performance as one of the primary goals. It also includes Flex Builder 2 for Windows. There's not a Mac version yet. We'll actually talk about that a little more in just a second. But Flex Builder 2 for Windows, that's a clip-based IDE for developing ActionScript 3 in Flex-based content. And it comes as standalone or as a plugin to Eclipse. Release the Flex SDK, and the Flex SDK includes all the Flex framework libraries and command line compilers and debuggers, you know, for working with applications. So this will, you know, this allows you to develop from the command line on Mac or Windows or even Linux if you want to set up, you know, daily builds or something. That's really simple to do now. I've actually gone through and all my projects I've made into Ant tasks, so now if someone needs it updated, I can just, you know, go and build it really quickly. And then finally, we also released a new version of Flex Data Services, and this is formerly known as the Flex Server. And we, the interesting thing here is we actually have a free version of that available that doesn't really have any restrictions. I think it has like restrictions on number of CPUs that can be used. So a ton of stuff that was being developed at the same time and all with dependencies on each other. So I think my hat's off to the teams who had to, you know, work through all that coordination. Again, though, you go to flex.org or go to adobe.com. You can find out a lot more information about all this, download trials, download bits. Oh, and one last thing, actually, before I forget, we also released on Labs a preview version of Flash Authoring 9, so it's codenamed Blaze. And what this is it's basically an early version of Blaze, and the main feature it has in it, actually maybe the only feature this release has in it on Labs, is that it has support for authoring ActionScript 3 content. So if you already have Flash Authoring 8, then you can download this and use it indefinitely, play around with ActionScript 3 within Flash Authoring. If you don't have Flash 8, you can play around with it, but it'll act more like a trial in that case, in which you'll have 30 days to play with it. So, you know, if you use Flash Authoring, you're more comfortable in that environment, definitely go check that out at Labs, and you can play around with ActionScript 3. So let's see. So one other thing, just really quickly, and this is actually related to flex.org, is that the Flex team has actually launched a weblog. So it's I'll post the link in the notes for the podcast. But they've actually been really active getting new information out there and some hints and tips, things like that. And I think this is something you're going to see more and more of going forward, is the Flex team, you know, really being active on the blog. They've already been active for quite a while, you know, on the online mailing list. So if you're on the Flex Coders list, I'm sure you've seen a lot of the engineers on there answering questions all the time. And now they're trying to, you know, expand that into other areas. But Matt Choten, who's one of the product managers on the Flex team, actually made a post last week talking about Flex Builder support on Mac. So we released, you know, Flex Builder last week, and then there's a lot of questions about, well, where's the Mac version? Are you doing a Mac version? And so Matt posted a little FAQ that covers a lot of the issues. So I'm not going to read the whole thing. I think the main points are we are working on a Mac version. The reason we didn't have it in the original release is what, and originally we had planned to have Mac and Windows release concurrently, was because of some issues with Eclipse on Mac in Eclipse 3.1, and these have been addressed in the latest release of Eclipse, which is 3.2, so that's making our job a lot easier. As far as when it's going to be available, there's Matt talks about in the FAQ that we're aiming to have a release on Labs this year. And you can imagine, you know, we have a conference coming up, Max conference coming up this fall, which would be a good time for us to do that, although no promises on timelines yet. So, again, check out the FAQ. It has a lot more information. You can post any questions or comments in the comments for the post, and I'll post a link to that in the notes for the podcast. And the final thing I want to talk about around Flex 2 is just give a quick update on all the ActionScript 3 open source libraries that we've been working on through the development process and which are hosted on Labs. So every release, we have to update these, to the new builds, and we haven't done that yet for the final build. We'll actually be doing that next week. The main thing that we have to do actually is just recompile the SWX. So if you need to use a project, need to use these libraries today, you can actually go download and just link to the source, and everything should work fine. We've actually done some internal builds, and there weren't any changes between 3 and the final release, beta 3 and the final release, that affected the libraries. But we'll be recompiling, updating the docs with the new ASDoc format, and recompiling new SWX. There was one bug, it looks like, actually just got today, someone reported to me in one of the date utils. So I'll fix that, and then everything will be updated next week. We're going to continue updating these. We probably won't do a 1.0 release on this just yet, just to see if there are any issues in the GMC or the final build of everything that we didn't catch. But I imagine in about a month or so, we'll probably tag a 1.0 release for the libraries. And of course, we'll continue to develop that. We'll be adding new APIs to the library over time. And, it's something basically anytime I have to build a library internally for something I'm working on, then, I just open source them, put them in the libraries because if it's something other developers can use. So let's see, I don't want this podcast to go too long. I'm already at 10 minutes, but I've got like all this stuff I want to talk about Apollo. So hopefully this won't drag on too much. So I just want to give a quick update on Apollo. So if you've been, watching online discussion, you probably noticed that, there's been some more and more discussion about Apollo in the press. And then over the past couple of weeks, more and more discussion in the development community, especially from me and other members of the Apollo team. And that's because a couple of people had actually been going on a press tour talking to press about Apollo and the engagement platform. And I think a lot of people are picking up on Apollo, and we've seen a couple articles about that. And then we've actually been a little more active talking about Apollo directly to developers. And that actually is going to really start to ramp up over the next couple of weeks, and actually this is part of it. This podcast is part of it. We did a Luis Blanco is one of the product managers for Apollo, did a session on Apollo at the recent Adobe Developer Week summit. So this is a week of presentations, live Breeze presentations and question and answers about different technologies. There were ones on Flex and the Flash Player and ActionScript 3. Luis did one on Apollo, and I sat in and helped answer questions during it. So that was actually really interesting. It was one of the first times we actually showed Apollo in action, some really early builds with some Flash-based applications. We don't have HTML support enabled yet. So if you search around, I think Ryan Stewart had posted some screenshots of some of those applications, and I'll make sure to link to that in the notes of the podcast. And then the consulting team, actually a couple of people, summarized a lot of the questions that were being asked. So lots of good information there. And I'll make sure to link to those. The Breeze presentation for it was actually recorded. So if you get a chance, and if you're interested in Apollo, make sure to check that out. It's about an hour long with lots of question and answers, lots of information about Apollo, and then you can actually see some early examples of applications. The other thing we did about a week ago, 2 weeks ago, we had a Flex Component Developer Summit, or the Flex team had a summit where they brought in some component developers here talking to them about Flex, developing components, really focused on components. I actually did a presentation on Apollo at that summit. They've posted all the slides for all the presentations, including the Apollo presentation, over at flex.org. Again, I'll put the link in here into the podcast notes, but if you haven't already seen this, go download every single slide because it's some very, very in-depth and detailed information on Flex and ActionScript 3, and particularly developing components. And I sat in through the whole summit, and I learned a ton of stuff. And I was like, we have to get these online. These are invaluable resources. Of course, they were already way ahead of me. They're already planning to do this. So they're all online now. My particular favorites are Alex Ruhy did one on component architecture and how to build components and the life cycle of components. And then Gary Grossman did one on ActionScript 3 and the player internals. And you may have seen this. I believe he did this at Max last year. This was much more in-depth. Really, really interesting stuff. So make sure to check out those slides over at flex.org. So just really quickly, on Monday, looks like I'm going to be at Bar Camp in Mountain View. It's held at the Computer History Museum. It's actually a really cool museum. I was down there a couple of weeks ago, so they had a TI-994A. That was my first computer, so that was really cool. Anyways, there's a mashup Bar Camp down there, and we're going to be talking about Flex. I believe Ted Patrick's going to be talking about Flex some, but then I'm going to spend a little time and talk about Apollo and then answer any questions anyone might have. This is something I actually just found out about the other day, so I'm really excited about it. And maybe I'll do a live demo or something. So that actually gets me to the next thing I want to talk about is just, where are we with Apollo right now? So we've been, talking about Apollo a little more. We're starting to get more and more information starting to get out. I actually just posted a blog post yesterday asking people what type of information they want to know. I've been planning to put together an FAQ to address a lot of the questions, and instead of just answering what I thought everyone would ask, I think I have a pretty good feel of it, but I wanted to make sure I let everyone, you can go to the weblog, add your own questions, and I'll make sure to address those in the FAQ. So hopefully that'll be out next week. But aside from that, we're still really early. Apollo's really early in the development process. There's a lot of underlying architecture that has to go in place first. We've recently had one of our first internal milestones, and where we actually Apollo's running. You can build some applications with it. Some of the APIs have been implemented, and this is actually what we showed during the Developer Week summit that Luis showed a couple of weeks ago. So that includes things like install touch points. So installation of applications work, install touch points. So add, remove, entries are put into add, remove programs. And, you get icons where you expect to get icons depending on what OS you're on. We also have some basic windowing APIs in place right now. There's still a lot more we need to add for support for multiple windows, full screen, things like that. But, we have basic windowing APIs in place now. If you want to maximize or close or minimize or resize the window. We also have support for the different window modes that we'll support. And this is actually, I think, there's cool stuff in there, but I think this is the coolest thing in the first release is that they actually got in all the window mode support. So there's three window modes. There is basically you can run an application within the OS Chrome. So it's just like any other, native application. It has the OS controlled, bounding box and UI, windowing buttons and, bars and all, menu bars, stuff like that. You can put your app inside of that. There's also, a mode which allows you to not have any of that Chrome, OS Chrome, but also have no transparency in your app. And so that, I built a little video player and I actually use that mode. But then the other mode, the final mode, which I think is the coolest mode, is what we call transparency. And basically is what this is no Windows Chrome or no OS Chrome, depending on what OS you're running on, and full 32-bit transparency support. And the way we do this is that we basically just knock out the background. So if you have a Swift, let's say you have a Flex application that's in a Swift, then we just knock out the background. Anything on top of that, then we'll just show up on the desktop. So if you have like a circle, let's say, that you draw on the Swift, then just the circle will show up on the desktop. Then the thing that's really cool though is we have full support for transparency. So if you set that circle to, say, 50% alpha, well, that's going to show through 50% alpha to the desktop. So I hope I described it right. I'm not the most creative person in the world, but it's just really it's really cool stuff. This is actually one of the things I'm really interested in seeing what people do with this. What I've been doing with it is I built my own Chrome just to play around with it, application Chrome. And this is actually what you'll see in a lot of the screenshots and the demos is just a little Chrome component that I built and put the applications inside of that. But again, this is going to be completely up to the designers and developers of the applications, you know, what their apps look like. So you can use the OS Chrome if you want. You can use, we'll probably provide some Chrome that you can leverage, or you can build your own Chrome. So I imagine in, you know, in most applications that are like form-based application or database applications, you know, you're going to use pretty standard Chrome. You may not use the OS Chrome, but you're going to use, you know, you'll use something very similar to it. But you can imagine applications that are heavily experienced or branded applications. Like you can imagine a Madonna application that you can download. I guess that's kind of a weird, I'm not a big Madonna fan, but a Block Party application, I guess, that's heavily branded, that you can download videos. It has custom Chrome, a really cool application experience. Anyway, so that's in there now. That's what, you know, in some of the demos, you've seen some of this stuff. And again, I'll post links to some screenshots. We're working on the next release, which the next internal release, which actually includes a lot of stuff. I'm not going to go into details anything of everything, but we're basically finalizing our Mac support. You know, making sure everything works correctly on Mac. Adding the file API that's going in this release. That's actually, I'm really excited about that because I built a little MP3 player, which actually was showing the demos, and having the file API support will allow me to add a lot of functionality to that MP3 player. In particular, Ben Stuckey created a ID3 AS3 ID3 tag library that's really advanced. I'm going to use that for my application. It does things. It reads all the every possible tag that could be in there, which a player doesn't necessarily. Player can't necessarily read all the newest tags, but this library will allow you to read everything. But the thing is really cool, it'll actually allow you to pull out embedded album art that's in the MP3. So I'm looking forward to playing around with that. Let's see, what else is in? Yeah, those are some of the main things. There's a lot of other stuff we're working on this release. So those things, some things I'm most excited about. Of course, you know, in the presentation a couple weeks ago, we talked about timelines. So we're planning to have a release on Labs by the end of this year. We, you know, we don't have exact, we haven't set an exact date. We have a Max conference coming up. You can imagine that would be a good time, though. And then with we plan to have the 1.0 release of Apollo sometime in 2007. So, you know, stuff's moving really quickly. Stuff's happening really fast. Everyone's going to have a chance to start playing with it pretty soon. You know, what we'll have when we're on Labs won't be feature complete, so you'll actually get to go through the process. But that's good for us because it helps us take we can take some feedback. We get it to you early enough where we can still take feedback on features, and you can also see how the platform evolves over time. Let's see. So the final thing I want to talk about, this actually came up in the FAQ and in the or the my blog post about the FAQ, and as well as the developer presentation that Luis did, and a lot of discussion that went on after it, was the fact that Apollo is a runtime. So Apollo is not an EXE creator or a projector creator, similar tools like Zinc or Screenweaver, which are very, very cool tools, do really cool stuff. Apollo is a runtime that is similar to the Flash Player. So the difference is the Flash Player has to be installed in the browser. Apollo will be installed onto an OS, whether that's Mac or Windows or Linux. And then applications will just be able to run seamlessly on those, you know, on top of Apollo. As far as end users are concerned, they're just running applications. They don't really know anything about Apollo because there's not really any Apollo branding. What your app looks like is 100% up to you. Anyways, there's concerns about this that are, you know, justifiable, like concerns about runtime distribution, making sure that the user has it. What if they don't have the runtime when they get, you know, an Apollo install file? So first thing I just want to say is just we have, you know, we understand this, and this is something we thought a lot about. And we have a lot of experience with getting runtimes onto machines. So whether it be the Flash Player, which is pretty much everywhere, or the Acrobat Reader, you know, we have a lot of experience in this space. But regardless, we're actually doing a number of other things that should alleviate a lot of these concerns. And I'm not going to actually go into too many details because we're still talking about some of these. Next week, next Thursday, I'm planning to do a podcast, and we'll actually have a couple of the Apollo engineers here to talk specifically about this, about some of the things we're doing to address some of these concerns about Apollo being a runtime and runtime distribution. And so we'll talk about some of the things we're doing, and maybe we'll talk about some of the things that we're thinking about doing too, and maybe brainstorm a little. So, you know, make sure, you know, if you haven't subscribed to the podcast feed, to do that. I'll try to do, we're planning to do that next Thursday, when some of the engineers will be up here in San Francisco. So that's all I have. I got to check my notes here. Looks like that's all I have for today. It ran a little longer than I'd hoped, but again, I'm sorry it's been so long since the last podcast. I'm going to try. I have everything set up now, so we're going to try to, you know, get these going a lot more regularly, and I'm going to try to bring in a lot more people from the other teams and talk to them. Just a quick reminder that this work is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 2.5 license, and you can find information on my weblog at weblogs.macromedia.com/mesh. I'll post links and to everything I talked about today in the podcast, and then so you can check those out. So until next week, thanks a lot.